dance.
Last night you missed epic shit.
My bad.
You missed an epic show. Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't say that other thing.
Yeah, see, that's how good it was last night. She's still in that.
Just thinking about it, man. We were going off. Oh, it's beautiful.
Now, the good news is you can go listen to it after you listen to the news, of course, and take it with you out of the streets of Houston, New York, L.A. Take Gamer Girls with you wherever you go.
Oh, I haven't even had any coffee and I'm crazy. No.
I
like you crazy.
All I know is there's some delicious men in my backyard digging holes. I don't even care why. They just, all the muscles are flexing. I'm going to go out with some lemonade and a bikini top after the show.
Ooh.
Y'all want some lemonade?
I want to see some Corey and some bikini top.
Only my neighbors, unfortunately. They don't deserve it, but only they'll get to.
See, she teases, and then she doesn't deliver.
Hey, didn't you see my resume? It says tease at the top, right above my name.
That sounds about right.
Jay Dukes wants to know if we put away the torches and pitchforks after last night's show. No, we have not.
No. Why would we put those away?
Today's the first day of fall. We can't put away the torches and pitchforks.
Is today the first day of fall?
Yes.
Finally. Summer is over. Screw you, summer.
To my pagan peoples out there, a very blessed Maybon unto you, and I will be expecting my leaf wreath for my door soon. I'll be looking for it in the mail. Thank you. I love it. I love it. It's so nice out. It already feels like fall. That's why those men are digging the holes in my backyard, I presume. I don't know. Just keep your shirts off, guys. Keep your shirts off.
Ooh, I'm definitely going over to Corey's later. Rawr. All right. So I guess they came for some news, didn't they?
Yeah, quite possibly. Or they wanted to hear Kesha, one of the two. We don't really know.
Well, there is that. But, yeah, I've got some news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right. So GamePolitics.com this morning, they pulled this from Industry Games. What to expect when your GFW Live account is hacked? GFW is games for Windows.
Oh.
Yeah. This doesn't sound like it's going to be very good. All right. So they say when you have an account for a service that keeps your credit card information on file, you hope that the company in question would provide you with some security. And when security fails, you pray that they will do what's right for the customer, but that doesn't always happen. PlayStation Network. In fact, sometimes companies do nothing at all to help you.
PlayStation Network.
That is exactly what blogger Greg Knight learned about Microsoft when his Games for Windows Live account was hacked. Someone compromised his account and bought two games with his credit card, Batman Arkham Asylum and Viva Pinata. Viva Pinata. I don't know. Using 10,000 Microsoft points to the tune of $125. He later discovered that his account had been hacked, and the hackers changed the alternate email address to an account from GorillaMail.com. After fixing that, Knight told Microsoft about the breach, who then locked down his account to investigate what happened. After about a month, a company representative told Knight that they found no evidence that his account had been hacked. Knight alleges that a Microsoft representative told him that they couldn't help him because his account wasn't connected to an Xbox 360. The representatives told him that he would have to go to his bank to convince them fraud occurred in order to get his money back. This did not sit well with Knight, who decided to take the matter to his blog and the court of public opinion. All right, so exactly what did Knight say? Knight wrote on his blog, "Microsoft, if this is indeed your hacking fraud policy, I find it disturbing. It is not acceptable to ignore credit card fraud that was committed on your service on the grounds that the victim doesn't own the device that you want them to own. It costs you nothing to simply reset some intangible numbers, refund some money, and let bygones be bygones. He goes on to say, this could have been a very simple matter, but now look at what I've had to do. By the time you read this, it'll be too late for you to make good. The bank will have already been notified. I don't get by on a lot of extra money after debts and bills are factored in, and yet I was very understanding of your procedure, waiting a month when I really could have used that money. But you blew it. It's too late for you to make good on your own volition, so now it's my turn to take my money back. You didn't even lose any product to whoever committed the fraud, so I leave public shaming to be your punishment. I hope everyone who reads this is as appalled as I am at how flippant and uncooperative you were over a very serious matter like credit card fraud. The writer goes on to say that so far Microsoft has not publicly commented on this story. Microsoft, what are you doing? Really?
Well, honestly, to the guy, I never, if you have something like that happen, you never go to the company. I got my card stolen. I don't know if I've told this on the air. I got ID theft. Somebody started a business with my information in California.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this.
A whole business. And then somebody else went shopping in Dallas. And I had my card in my hand. So I didn't call Walmart, and I didn't call the franchise board out in California, although they found it and they called me. I didn't call Walmart. You should just go straight to your bank. Don't even bother with Microsoft. They're not going to care. That's just the way that it works. You go to your credit card company, I didn't do this, and it's that simple. You keep fighting it with them, and they're most likely not going to tell you to go back to Microsoft. But that's the first place you should have gone. You all out there, that's it. Never even bother. If somebody steals your card and they go shopping at Best Buy, don't go to Best Buy demanding they give you your money back.
Mm-mm.
You go straight to your bank because they're the ones that are going to have way
mm-hmm.
more power than Best Buy. Best Buy can't even say no. The bank
mm-hmm.
is going to be like, oh, I think you're going to give it back, and I think you're going to give it back now. And that's the way it works. Don't bother with all that business. Along the same lines, ironically, Ginger and I picked two stories that coincide.
Yes.
Well, a lovely gentleman over at Social Beat, or one of VentureBeat's sub little areas or whatever you want to call it, is talking about how the tech companies exploit the way that we undervalue privacy. Remember, we tell you guys, protect your data at all times. It's not
mm-hmm.
the company's job. He says, how much is your personal data worth? Will photos you post on Facebook or Foursquare check-in data get you into trouble in 5 years' time? He says, in one of the standout talks this week on this week's O'Reilly Strata Summit, author and Boing Boing editor Cory Doctorow explained why people undervalue their privacy and how data-driven companies exploit this mispricing of privacy. He said, the privacy bargain we make with tech companies usually involves giving up some personal data in return for a free service, such as with Facebook or Twitter. Doctorow argues that it's hard for people to assign a value to personal data. So when the full consequences of giving up that data are still unknown, how do you determine whether the privacy bargain is a fair one? He said, it's hard to get worked up about things where the failure and the dead are separated by a long way. And he said it's the same reason that people start smoking. He insists data-driven companies such as Facebook actively exploit users to solicit as much data as possible. Facebook trains you to undervalue your privacy. These companies are choka with social scientists now. I'm sorry, supposed to be choked, I think he meant to say, with social scientists now. And those people have their Skinner, which is an American behaviorist, and their Adler, who is the founder of the School of Individual Psychology, and they understand intermittent reinforcement. If you don't know what any of those things mean, get on and look it up now. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Get on Google. In exchange for posting status updates, photos, and other information, Facebook users are intermittently rewarded with attention from people they care about. This mechanism can be addictive. Mm-hmm. Similar, and they said the qualities are so addictive, they're similar to gambling. Elsie Pryor, like what I told you this morning with my cousin, yeah, you're the one they're talking about. Cut it out. Ellie Purser, who wrote The Filter Bubble, told the author that someone at Facebook explained to him that they know that they have that men who have female friends post photos of themselves. They spend more time on the site. He said they know that women who see their friends post photos upload photos in response. So if a man who used the site a lot then dropped off, they look for women in his social group, show them pictures of their girlfriends, the women post pictures back, and then the men stay on. This is not the bargain. Another form of social manipulation practiced by tech companies involves search results in news feeds. The algorithms by which things like Facebook decides what to show you and what to hide are totally opaque. Not to me. There's this kind of weird big lie about how algorithm is not a form of editorial control. Google will say, we have organic search results. No, they don't. In contrast to what Alta Vista used to do, where they would take payment to put a result first, it's organic because it's done for math. But actually, it's editorial by another name. All the companies that do editorial by algorithm claim there's something about math that makes it free of bias and will. Tech companies often do not offer clear, easy privacy choices to users. Facebook constantly changes its privacy settings to push the default towards more public data, and its Byzantine custom privacy settings.
Story, that drives me nuts. I hate having to go back in every week.
And change something. Since, of course, it gets all your new users all confusing. Since complexifying a proposition is usually there to stop you from finding out whether the deal is good. So what mobile applications, with mobile applications, the choice is often between giving the application all the data it requests or not installing at all, which I always opt for, never mind. Or I'm going to give you some fake data. This is not my real address. This is not my Use it if you like.
Yes.
This is a very interesting article, and I wanted to do it since Ginger brought that up and given light what happens to me. And a lot of you who don't realize how much of your privacy you give up and you don't think it's a big deal, and I'm here to tell you it's a big deal. Those of you who are young and just starting out in college may think, oh, it's no big deal if Facebook has my information. Yeah, this guy is saying how people are spying on you, everything you do, every IM you send, all over your Facebook, your conversations, everything, smoking, everything, I'm going to get back to that in a second, back to the article in a second. One part I do want to read. But later on in life, when you are not 20 and you're 35, 36, you're getting ready to settle down and get married. I picked that age because it's later. You get to party out of your system. And somebody has been watching you on Facebook for years or Twitter for years, and you talk so much because we all share so much. We think it's so nice to be able to tell everybody I got a new set of dishes and I bought new lingerie, and this everybody knows everything about you. It will come back to bite you in the ass. You may be trying to buy a house or a car, and suddenly you find out somebody has completely stolen your identity, and it's easy for them to do because they know everything about you. Shut up. Shut up sometimes. You don't need to tell everybody everything. This particular author is also suggesting that he said, well, we could start by teaching kids to jailbreak every device, break every firewall, to do all the things that will make them good at privacy. It's a learned skill. It really is. If kids can compete to see who can divulge the least information to grown-ups in their lives, we will, by definition, get kids who are better at not divulging information than kids who are punished every time they try to prevent grown-ups from looking at their information. So go and check this article out. It is a must-read, and please protect your privacy, peoples.
That definitely does sound like it.
Yes, yes. Very, 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 very dangerous world we live in. People just don't know it. Back to you, Ginger. How's it going on I-45?
All right. apparently I'm a choke. Fair warning, if your boss is around, you might want to plug their ears. You ready? Okay, let's do this. Covered or naked? That is a question. You know I had to. All right, how exciting and erotic when watching a beauty wearing a bikini fight with monsters, which is a feast to players' eyes while experiencing the thrill of battles.
I prefer to see the monster wearing the bikini, honestly, if you want to know the truth, guys. Anyway,
continue. I know, right? Mm-hmm. There is no wonder that this is an enjoyable thing to kill leisure time, thus increasing number of games nowadays. All right, I don't know who wrote this, but you fell. Nowadays, make greater efforts to create visual shock in game, and players are gradually getting more and more accustomed to the exposure of female characters. This is true. Even so, Everdream Studio tried to revamp female characters' clothes and also change some NPCs' non-Muslim exciting talks before marching into the Arabic market. However, some players state that the avoidance of making female characters and Arabic servers exposed should be required. Otherwise, it is kind of profanation, which makes them feel sick. All right, bear with me. This is obviously translated, and, yeah, we know how those go. All right, so Arabs are conservative, but are the Westerners open? Another group of players indicate that the West is much less bare than the conception from the outside. Although various factors influence one's mind, even the whole race, including education, economy, culture, religion, and so on, the history mostly established by the geographical environment and religious belief decides the traditional clothing, making the impression that Arabs are turbaned head and covered face being taken strong root in the mind of people from all over the world. However, do all Chinese people from Xinjiang go to work by camel? What? All right. So anyways, here's the deal. Dragon's Call, they have female characters, right? Usually here in the U.S., they're pretty not covered. You know, they're going to be in bikinis and chainmail, and that armor is not armor. I don't care what they say. Oh, now they've brought it over to these Arabic places, and the women are now covered. They're in pretty silks and headscarves, and oh, the pictures are so pretty. Anyway, go over to GameNatrix.com, check it out.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to try to fight through that, but no, I give up.
It's badly translated.
Badly, badly, badly translated. They're like dashes and weird little symbols. And
so I must share a late night Twitter conversation with our homie Slice.
Slice?
Homie Slice on Twitter, Weasel. How you doing this morning? I'm noticing a lot more late night ads for games, the mature games, which I like. But I saw something interesting last night, and I Twittered it, the ad for Deus Ex. And the first thing out of the character's mouth was, "I didn't ask for this." And I says, "Why is it this?" I said on Twitter, "Why is it I always see the character that say, 'I didn't ask for this'? I want to see the one that did ask for it." And, of course, Weasel and I got into a very interesting conversation. If you're not following us on Twitter, you have to go see what we were talking about. I can't say it. It's not safe for daytime, but it involved Darth Vader and Wayne Brady. That's all I can tell.
What?
I'll tell you about it, Ginger, when we get off.
All right.
But you guys, if you're following us on Twitter, you see the most interesting things because I don't sleep, so yeah. Good morning, Horace. Yeah. You're talking about Release the Hounds.
Good morning, Horace.
Release the Hounds. Wait a minute. Where else is my story? All right. Okay. So today, we got some. All right. Well, yeah, today's Friday. Okay. So Dish and Blockbuster are going to introduce the Netflix competitor today. I think it's, well, they're not saying where they're going to air it. I guess we have to track it down. Satellite TV operator Dish Network will announce a new Blockbuster-branded all-you-can-watch video streaming service as of today. This is according to CNN Money Report. The move for Dish to create a Netflix rival is hardly surprising. Dish acquired Blockbuster in a bankruptcy auction for $320 million way back in April. Remember we told you about that?
Mm-hmm.
And a month later, Dish CEO Joe Clayton said he wanted to take a small piece of the pie from Netflix. Damn straight. When it came to streaming video, and Netflix is already messing up. This is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay, so this seems an opportune time, of course, to announce a rival as Netflix, currently the leader in streaming movies, is hurting when it comes to consumer sentiment. First, the company instituted a 60% price hike. So you didn't know how much it was. When I said 60, doesn't it sound bad?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is on combined streaming and physical DVD rental plans at the beginning of September. Second, the company just announced that it will spin off its physical DVD rental service into a new category called Quixtar. Netflix customers were angry with the charges, so Dish already has a group of potential customers it can easily court if it offers a cheaper price for comparable content. Dish is also one of the companies said to be bidding for streaming, bidding for streaming service Hulu, along with the likes of Amazon, Yahoo, and Google. If the company were to control Hulu on top of its Blockbuster DVD and streaming plans and Dish at Home service, it would easily become the new entertainment powerhouse.
Yeah, it would.
I think I got tingles. Ooh. Okay, so Dish Network did not immediately respond to any questions that were put to it by our people over at VentureBeat. But, yeah, we may have to go over and find out ourselves. Tell me something. Ooh, hands above the desk, people. That is sexy. this is going to be good. Right before a holiday, nice fall day, and I get the juicy fights going. Mm. It's going to be good. This one's really going to be good because Netflix has been the only one for so long. You know what? And I know the person that actually came up with the idea for Netflix but did not act on it years before it came into being. But there was no digital, you know, our speeds were not able to handle it.
Yeah.
But I always thought that was a great idea. But they have jumped the shark with some of the stuff. I have never even tried a Netflix, and it was just when I was getting ready to is when they started acting crazy. And that's one of those, mm-hmm. When you step back, mm-hmm. That's why. I knew you were going to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess it's my turn for some more news.
Go.
Yay! All right, GamePolitics.com, MIT Gambit Game Labs explores LGBT characters in a closed world. All right, so new research efforts at MIT explore how games handle gay, bisexual, and transgender characters and storylines badly. Inspired by the lack of serious LGBT characters in mainstream video games, Singapore MIT Gambit Game Lab has developed a game called A Closed World, which hopes to answer straightforward questions such as how can video games present LGBT content, and what are the challenges that a development team faces when trying to include content about someone different from the perceived norm. In an attempt to answer these questions, several teams worked for 8 weeks during Gambit's summer program as producers, designers, programmers, musicians, and artists on some experimental games. Todd Harper, the Gambit product owner of A Closed World, led a team of 9 interns from Singapore, MIT, and Rhode Island School of Design and Berklee College of Music. Harper says the project addresses a very basic idea about identity and representation in mass media. Think about the first time you heard someone famous was different in the same way as you, or saw someone different in the same way on TV or in a movie. It gave you a little rush of good feeling. This is the way I sold the project to the interns. Cultural content shapes our reality. A Closed World is a console-style RPG that lets players take control of a young resident of a village where, on the outskirts, a forest exists that legend claims is a place of no return. Because of this, the forest is forbidden, and what is on the other side of it is unknown. The hero's beloved, tired of the oppressive attitude of the villagers, decides to go there, and the protagonist eventually follows after. Harper notes that the LGBT content is usually incidental and never drives the story, which is one of the core reasons for making A Closed World. Rather than having it be sidelined or there for a one-off joke, games can and should be doing something explorative and expressive on the topic. We started with my having mapped out the narrative of the game ahead of time, but in 8 weeks, we've done something completely different. All right, so they say if you want to check out A Closed World, you can go over to gambit.mit.edu.
All right, so I made you guys wait. First of all, I know you all are twittering because you want to hear my phone, but I'm muted. Thank you. You will not hear those ding-dongs to stay today.
Oh, come on. You want to. Yeah, now you want to.
So I do need to announce the date for the House of Dead Overkill. We've been waiting for this one, right? It's coming out on the Wii only, and it is from Sega. Yeah, a lot of you went, ouch, that hurt, didn't it, right? So they're like, say the date already. they're saying 2/13, but this looks like an old date. So 2/13, possibly you'll get to see it. I don't know any more than that. I'm sorry, not Wii. It's going to be on PS3. Crazy. Crazy, Corey. 2/13 is what I got. It could be a lie. You know how they lied to us. They like to lie. But 2/13 is what we got. I'm trying to complete a sentence here. God, it's like I'm stuck on those particular words. For December 13. Pick up your copy. I'm moving along. I'm having issues with that for some reason. Something to do with 13. I don't know why. All right. So, you know, Zynga keeps going on about how great they're doing. Zynga, we're awesome sauce. We're at the top of the heap. Nope. They've had to amend their IPO because their profits are falling.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they issued another amendment that shows a sharp decrease in the company's profits. If you own your Zynga stock, buy more now. Don't ditch it. Buy more now. Net income for the second quarter fell to $1.4 million, a 90% year on the drop from $14 million, an even steeper decline from $16.8 million in the first quarter. Their revenue growth has also slowed with $279.1 million. You guys are killing me with all this. Okay, look here. They reveal the total costs and expenses for the second quarter nearly equaled its total revenue. So that's not good.
No.
Of course, they've made a number of they hired quite a few people, so that's probably where the money's going. They got Disney's somebody from over at Disney came over to work for them, Sussman. They bought several other studios. They also got sued for patent infringement. So,
ouch.
Yeah, they've been having an interesting year. Those people over at Zynga, run while you can.
Run!
I don't know.
Gingerbread man.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Good night. I'm done with the ginger. I'm done.
She's says that every time, but you know she loves me.
Of course I love you, but that still doesn't mean I'm not going to leave you. Okay, this is my, I do have to say, this is my favorite comment on this particular story over at GamesIndustry.com. It says, perhaps Zynga needs a few neighbors or a shiny new accountant. Click here, only 10 credits. Just don't adorn my newsfeed with another icon, please. So, yeah, you know how they always make you, you need new neighbors to get ahead. That's from Martin. Ooh. Martin Brown is the managing director over at Insight for Hire. Very funny. I like that comment.
That is hilarious. All right, I guess I will give y'all some more news. What have I got? I've got the GNGWC 2011 final in North American region of GNGWC 2011 to come to an end. All right, so final in North American region of GNGWC 2011 Game and Game World Championship 2011 is what that is. A global online game contest hosted by Korea Creative Content Agency was held in Howie's Game Shack in LA, USA at 11 a.m. on September 17th. In the North American region, where about 700 users participated in online preliminaries, about 40 gamers competed for getting tickets to the grand final, which will be held in Korea in November. In Ace Online, which had its final game... In Ace Online, Carlos defeated George, a younger brother of Carlos, by 2-0 and ranked number 1 and 2, respectively. In Shot Online, the only game participating as a main event for 6 years consecutively, Christopher, an American player, won by 2 strokes after playing a seesaw game against Anthony, a player from the States as well. Also, there's an eager user from Puerto Rico accompanied by an interpreter who dragged people's attentions but failed to be one of the winners. Apparently, I cannot talk. Lastly, in War Rock, players from the USA swept all the prizes from top to third. Spencer, a number one player, showed formidable performance by winning all the games from the beginning. In the final in North American region of GNGWC 2011, 4 players, 3 prize winners from Shot Online and a winner from Ace Online were given the tickets to Korea. And all the participants were provided with generous gifts like iPod Touch and luxury headphones. Meanwhile, GNGWC 2011, which selected winners from each region by touring Europe and North America, will have a final of Southeast Asian region in Bangkok, Thai, on October 8th. The winners will compete against each other over World Championship and Grand Final, which will be held in G-Star in Busan, Korea, in November. All right. So if you want more news about this, you can go to tshow.aving.net. Or just you want this link, go over to gamingmatrix.com. I'm about to put it up for you.
My pages won't load. Here we go. Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to change my news story, though, because that particular story doesn't want to load.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Wow. None of them will load. What is going on? Why?
I don't know, but you need me to read something?
Yeah, no, I'm page alone. Do something, Ginger.
All right, I can do something. I can do something. What have I got? Oh, I've got not good. All right, GamePolitics.com. Actually, this came up yesterday, but it was after the show, so I'm going to go ahead and pick it up now.
After and before, probably.
FCC finalizes net neutrality rules in effect November 20th.
Oh,
yeah. The Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, has finalized the Open Internet rules it voted on late last year. The rules now go to the Federal Register, who will publish them tomorrow, which is today, and make them official. The rules go into effect on November 20th, but chances are they will be put on hold as 2 lawsuits by prominent service providers will be relaunched. Both Verizon and MetroPCS have taken their lawsuits to the federal courts earlier this year, but both were tossed out because the rules hadn't been finalized. Now that they have been officially ratified, expect both companies to rush back to federal courts. But even if those lawsuits don't go forward, and trust me, they will, the rules adopted by the FCC lack any real teeth and gave many concessions to ISPs, like giving them blessings to engage in usage-based pricing, bandwidth caps, and more. Not cool. Not cool at all, people. All right, so the rules remain the same as they were in the FCC passed back in December 2010. They include provisions that force ISPs to disclose their network management practices, and provisions from keeping them from blocking lawful content and services. Mobile networks can still throttle connections and block certain apps if they so choose. Ultimately, advocates for net neutrality probably shouldn't be cheering for these rules because they don't go far enough. You can read the finalized guidelines in this PDF, which if you want that PDF, go over to GamePolitics.com and pick that up.
All right. Fantastical.
Who's working for you now?
Not really, but we do have some other stuff we just gonna go into anyway. Final in North American region. Wow, I love when they translate these. Final in North American region of GNG. Did we already do this? GNG's WC 2011?
I just did that.
I'm crazy. See? I have some of my pages I had open. They don't like me. None of you like me.
No, you don't want to read that anyway, so it's badly translated.
I see that very, very badly.
I was trying. It just wasn't working.
Oh, my. This is one of those days. Why does my page not want to load? Okay, I'm going back to Gamma Sutra. Lovely. Okay, so apparently you people that play Demon's Souls will be happy to know that your server will stay active into 2012. Do you play that game?
Nope.
Well, shit, bad gender. It looks interesting. I'm sorry, I never heard of it. Demon's Souls U.S. publisher is from Atlas, and love Atlas. They make good games. They make that Trauma Center, which I love, announced that the life of their online service for the PlayStation 3 game Demon's Souls has been extended. The servers will now be available well into 2012. Well, they didn't say well into. I added that just to make you feel better, because it could just be canceled, you know, New Year's Day. The online features in Demon's Souls allows players to leave hints for one another, cooperatively revive other players, or invade other people's playthroughs and cause Why did I not know about this? This is all me.
I know, right?
I got to get in this. These features are in place to intensify the single-player campaign, explained Aram Jabari. Y'all, stop it. Bad.
Oh, no. Where's the noise? Stop the noise. There we go.
It's Aram Jabari, who's the manager of sales at Atlas. So the company did not say exactly how deep into 2012 the service would remain active. I did just tell you that. He said, while it comes at a significant cost to us, and although it's been over 2 years since the game revolutionized the notion of multiplayer and online functionality in an RPG, our commitment to the game and the fans that turned it into an incredible success remains as strong as ever, he noted. While the reality is that one day the service will ultimately close due to operation and maintenance costs, that day is not today, nor will it be this year. Atlas did know.
It will be 1-1 of 2012.
One day. 1-0. 1-1. It's gender. Atlas did not note whether or not Demon's Souls servers in regions outside of the U.S. will also remain active in 2012. I'm wondering why I never heard of this, because this is all what I'm talking about. I love to cause some havoc. I would love to be all up in somebody's game. Just, you come back and it just messed up.
She would too. She's evil like that. Don't y'all hear this?
I am. Some people are hoping, at least if they do have to close, that they'll release the game open source, kind of like what they did with the Hacker Elite Uplink. Said, here, we're not really messing with this game anymore. We'll leave the site up, and here's the code. Mm-hmm. Do with it as you will. So, we'll see. I'm hoping I can find this game. I might want to jump in there. Anybody want me to? Oh, by the way, Jay Dukes, I cannot cut you this weekend on Burnout. My Xbox Live account is down for approximately 72 hours while they switch my account over to something. Problem they caused. Don't you just... Ooh, Microsoft, just want to cut you. I swear, Ginger, I lose my gamer tag, I have a problem. If you see a mushroom cloud over Houston, that's exactly what happened. Just where it exploded. Ooh, needs my gamer tag, Microsoft. Don't be messing up my stuff. I'm trusting y'all to fix it. Make it right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, what is going on with you people?
I don't know. Why would it have missed?
You people taking off clothes on Twitter. What is this?
I didn't take off no clothes on Twitter.
It's too early in the morning to be.
We're supposed to know why we're always so darn violent.
Suits me.
Yes. We like some violence.
Sweetness does not suit me, trust me.
Well, I'll bring us some sweetness. Here we go. Pretty Pet Pony launches.
I do it.
Phone.
I will cut you. No.
Horse races, strategy, customization, and cuteness overload. All right, so Outblaze and Animoca today announced the launch of Pretty Pet Pony for Apple's iOS devices. The newest title in the chart-topping Pretty Pet series breaks a new ground by introducing action-packed horse races and pony customization to the classic pet grooming gameplay for all ages. Pretty Pet Pony is available for free on the App Store. You know what? Y'all should put this on the Android and I play. All right, so in Pretty Pet Pony, players take control of a stable to groom colorful horses of nearly excessive cuteness. With ponies marching in every few moments, players will have to think fast in order to brush and wash coats, check horseshoes, and exercise the lovable animals. At the same time, making sure that their own horse is healthy and at peak fitness.
Wait, I got to keep up with your horses and mine?
Yes.
Who the hell came up with this idea for the game?
No. Regular race events gives players of Pretty Pet Pony a chance to ride their horse on different racetracks and against different opponents as they compete for a variety of prizes. Racing requires a quick eye and fast reflexes to strike a balance between speed and stamina. Focus too much on bursts of speed and your pony will tire quickly. But gallop too slowly and you'll end up finishing last in the race. Players can customize their pony and upgrade their stables by using in-game money as well as pet points. Connectivity options allows users to take snapshots of their unique pony designs and post them on the web or find friends to compete against. Pretty Pet Pony is free to download and play. Optional in-game upgrades can be bought with pet points, which are purchased with real money. Pet points can also be earned by using the daily bonus lottery for which players automatically receive tokens every day. All right, so again, if you want to play this, you can download it now, Pretty Pet Pony, for free from the Apple's App Store. So go over there and check it out. Oh, I also just saw the trailer on GameNatrix.com.
Stop scaring me. All right. Oh, God. The Twitter is a whole other soap opera in the morning. What is wrong with you people?
I don't know. It's not me. Not me.
Oh, sure. It's never you.
Oh, not this morning.
It's funny. I see your name there. It looks like it's you. It looks to me like it says Ginger in the conversation. Oh, people keep your clothes on. Okay, so apparently hell is going to freeze over. Early 2012, despite a sterling record of always hitting its release dates, Blizzard Entertainment today announced that the expected launch date window for Diablo III, the next title in the company's critically acclaimed series of action role-playing games, will be moving into early 2012. They're saying, with every game we make, the temptation is always very strong to launch as soon as possible. However, we didn't put so many years of work into Diablo III to release a game that wasn't almost ready. That's from Mike Morhaime, who's the CEO and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment. He said the beta test is going very well, and we look forward to making the most of the extra time. We're going to deliver an experience that lives up to our vision for the game and its expectation for our players. Next year is going to be an incredibly busy one for Blizzard, and we hope an incredibly fun one as well for Blizzard gamers. What? Wow. Blizzard, of course, will use the additional time to extend the Diablo 3 closed beta test, which began September 20th, just a few days ago, potentially adding more testers than initially projected. Players who have an active Battle.net account with any Blizzard game attached to it should visit Battle.net account management to opt in for a chance to participate in the beta test. So that was a real letter we got.
Oops,
sorry. Now I gotta go apologize. Additional testing phases as well as further details regarding the launch plans for the game will be announced on the company's Diablo 3 community website, which is Diablo 3, the number 3, not the three eyes, not the Roman numerals, Diablo3.com. Of course, I can't tell you all that information. Never mind. Anyway, go over and check that out. Tell them that we sent you. Sorry, Rob.
Our bad.
Oops. Okay, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to play. Do you want to play?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, nobody wants to. What is going on with you people on Twitter?
I don't know. That's my word for today. I don't know.
And notice she ran them all together and said it was her one word for the day. I don't know.
It all together. Friday, we're tired, we're up late, ranting and raving, and yeah.
Late, I ain't been asleep yet. 2 days in, people.
Oh, wow. Wow. No, I was actually in bed before midnight. It was nice.
Hardcore up in this piece.
I'm getting old. What? All right. I'm going to get cut.
That would have gotten you checks thrown at you from across the room. Just throw them at you.
No. Okay. All right, so award-winning Uncanny Games reaches For the Sun with Poetical Tell OIO out today for PC and Mac.
What the hell kind of name is that for a game?
No. Oh, but the pictures are so pretty.
Really?
The irresistible wooden charms of OIO with its lovingly crafted mythology and intricate puzzle platforming will captivate PC gamers from today. After winning a series of prestigious awards and the affections of gamers with the Uncanny Fish Hunt, the team at Uncanny Games in France is preparing for its first ever fully-fledged release with OIO the Game. The strikingly original and enchanting puzzle platformer is available today as a downloadable PC and Mac title via Gamersgate. It's going to be £6.50, francs, lindens, whatever the little L sign is, or $9.99 in the U.S. I did put up a trailer and some screenshots over at GameNatrix.com, so check it out. Drawing inspiration from the mythologies of Icarus and timeless fairy tales, OIO is the story of a little wooden man awakened when a stray beam of sunlight pierces the twilight subterranean world in which he and his hand-carved compatriots stand frozen in time. Alone and being reanimated, OIO embarks on a perilous journey through the vast organic netherworld with only his wits and magical seeds to overcome the challenges before him and climb towards the light. As the journey unfolds, OIO will learn the fate that befell his petrified companions, seek a way to free them from their inanimate tyranny, and come face to face with his greatest challenge. The picture,
fire.
Video, yeah, there was a lot of fire in this video. The pictures and the video, very beautiful. Go over to GameAndMatrix.com and check them out.
Yeah, I wonder if I
really
have
to. Pretty.
I think I want that one, but like we have time. But
right.
I think I have time to fit this one in because Matrix Games just tried to squeeze us in. People, we said 11 o'clock.
I know. 11 o'clock. It's 11:41. It's not 11 o'clock, people.
That said 11 o'clock. But I'm going to squeeze this one in. If you haven't heard, AI War, their alien bundle is now available and on sale.
Ooh. I like sale.
Yes. you can purchase it at the Matrix Games online store. The Alien Bundle version of AI War contains the original AI War Fleet Command-based game, in addition to three other expansions, The Zenith Remnant, Children of Ninzul, and Light of the Spire. These all sound very interesting. Haven't played them yet. To mark the release of this exciting and innovative real-time strategy game, actually, this is a blaster game. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Matrix is running a two-week sale on AI War Alien Bundle, so gamers can pick up the game for $19.99 for digital download, or $10, 33% off the regular price for the digital download version. That's the lowest price you'll find for all four critically acclaimed titles, so there's never been a better time to try AI War. Woo, 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 woo. Okay. We are about to go. That was a bad attempt at Kesha. Oh, I need some sleep, really. All right, Jay Duke, stand up. Tell everybody to leave your office. Here we go. It's time for a break. Girls Radio is not responsible for any damage as a result of this. Wow. Somebody's asking me to play Zombie Lane. Amazing. Do you know, I have still not gotten a chance to play Zombie Lane on the iPad. I keep trying. And that service that they talked about is not working properly, or either, you know, it doesn't like my iPad. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't like her.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's my turn, isn't it?
It is, and after I got a delicious story about a restraining order in Bethesda and Fallout, just so y'all know. But go ahead, Ginger.
Ooh, very nice, very nice. All right, this one just popped up on GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from CNBG. UK culture minister would like a game room for Parliament. That's so awesome.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. UK culture minister Ed Vasey wanted to have a game console in his office, but unnamed members of Parliament objected. Now he's talking about Parliament setting up a game room and a new interview with Edge. Vasey says, I asked if I could put a game console in my room in the department, Vasey told Edge. The powers that be were against it because people coming for meetings would assume that I was spending every spare minute playing games. Perhaps
of course
I will
you
be
are.
More Yeah, I know, right? Perhaps I'll be more firm and say I want a games console in my office to put on display and show the best of British gaming. I would be happy to do that. And I think that's a very good point. People don't think twice about the fact that every MP has a TV in their room. As for setting up a gaming room, why shouldn't we? If the industry wanted to start talks along those lines with the common society, I would certainly support them, he adds. All right, so the writer goes on to say, sounds like a grand idea to me. Where's Ivan's Livingston when you need him? Vasey also revealed that his favorite game at the moment is Plants vs. Zombies on iPhone, though he calls Defender one of his all-time favorites. Clearly, the man has good taste. That's awesome. And they've actually got a picture of him up on Game Politics. He's kind of cute.
Is he cute?
Yeah, you ought to see. Yeah. He's got a nice smile. He's got pretty blue eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mark Zuckerberg right now, and he needs to put on about 15 pounds and grow a beard and start wearing some really some glasses that have just a little bit of a tint to them. Not the wire frames, but, you know, a little thicker. Just keep, go ahead and keep the hair real short, Mark. That'll sexy you right up. Okay. Well, this is the first I've ever heard of this. Bethesda was reported, and this is according to our peoples over at Gamma Sutra, said that purported to have, or allegedly, supposedly, had a restraining order against Fallout MMO co-developer Masthead, or they tried to file for one. A court this week denied them the bid for a temporary restraining order against them. Why are you putting restraining orders against each other? I don't, ooh, we missed something here, and it was good. Okay, so it's just the latest development in an ongoing legal battle that is Bethesda trying to regain full and complete control of the Fallout intellectual property. After acquiring the Fallout IP from Interplay in 2007, Bethesda licensed the rights to develop an MMO based on Fallout back to the company under certain conditions, or else the agreement would be terminated. Then in 2009, Bethesda sued Interplay for allegedly failing to hold up its end of the agreements regarding the company's development of Fallout MMO, known as Project V13. But within months, a U.S. district court had denied Bethesda's motion for a preliminary injunction against Interplay. Bethesda then filed another lawsuit against Interplay and Fallout Online developer Masthead Studios, noting that the company is developing a Fallout MMO, but under an agreement between the two companies, cannot use any of the assets from the established Fallout universe, such as characters, settings, or storylines. Interplay later called Bethesda's interpretation of the agreement absurd, noting that Bethesda never objected to the game, as it allegedly knew that it was intended by Interplay under the agreement. This week, U.S. District Court Judge the Honorable John F. Walter, I salute you, sir, denied the temporary restraining order requested by Bethesda against Fallout MMO co-developer Masthead, even before Masthead offered up an option to Bethesda Bethesda's request for a temporary restraining order. Somebody said Bethesda has not demonstrated that it will be irreparably prejudiced if the requested ex parte relief is not granted, and that it is without fault in creating the crisis that requires ex parte relief. Basically, what that says, they ain't doing nothing to you. They don't look like they're going to do anything to you. You asking for this is stupid. So, no.
Yeah.
Indeed, Bethesda was aware as early as February 2011 that Masthead was potentially infringing on its copyrights, yet the judge says the plaintiff waited 7 months to apply for ex parte relief. He concluded that the court finds this plaintiff unreasonably denied in seeking relief and that the emergency that allegedly justifies a temporary restraining order is self-created. In other words, you're all crazy. Court adjourned. Wow. You know what? All of you just need to get together in a room and sit down with us because, you know, we squashed this really quick and just say, you know what? Let's all make a game together, let's split the money down the middle, and let's be done with it. You can use the assets, and you use, and we'll split this, and we'll take, we'll get the royalties, and let's, and in the interim, let's never speak to each other again after this, okay? Let our lawyers. That's how you do that. Let's never speak or see each other again, but we will share the money because money is universal. I'm not understanding all this. These people
are nuts. Is what these people are. Speaking of nuts, I love me some Telltale Games.
Oh,
all right. Mm-hmm. Gore Blimey, final episode of Telltale's Hector Badge of Carnage hits like a brick to the GOB on September 23rd. All right, Hector the... I'm trying to read this without laughing. Hector the fat arse of the law careens toward the climax of Telltale and Stan Looper's three-game series, Hector Badge of Carnage, when the final episode, Beyond Reasonable Doom, launches across all major platforms on September 23rd. Clapper's Reeks, roughest and raunchiest copper ever, is now fighting to save his home and bringing chaos and comedy the entire way. Can Hector escape his squalid demise and stagger back to Clapper's Reeks to save it from extinction? Where are Hector's clothes? What is he doing with that cow? All right, so the answers to these questions will be revealed when you download Hector Badge of Carnage Beyond Reasonable Doom. Corey, I want this. It all comes down to a pus-filled head in Beyond Reasonable Doom as Hector races to take down the tosser that has been making his life a living, bleeding hell.
Tosser. That's you from the UK. That's a UK
yes.
word.
It's going to be a right proper Donnybrook as the pot belly of justice collides with the grimy fist of evil. Ew. All right, so get ready to bring justice and order to chaos on Thursday, September 23rd, which was yesterday, when the final... No, today's Thursday?
Today is the 23rd, babe.
Then they're wrong, because this is Thursday, and today's Friday. Anyways,
Friday's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so get ready to bring justice and order to chaos on Friday, September 23rd, when the final episode of Hector Badge of Carnage, Beyond Reasonable Doom, comes to PC, Mac, iPhone, and iPad with a PlayStation Network release coming in the near future. All right, so Hector Badge of Carnage, Beyond Reasonable Doom, is available for immediate download on iPhone for £2.99, Linden's Franks, whatever the little I sign is, or L sign is. iPad for $4.99, Linden's, Franks, Dollars, Pounds, something at the iTunes App Store. The PC versions can be downloaded directly from Telltale Games for $9.99 per episode or a full season for $19.99. I love Telltale Games. Their stuff is always hilarious.
Very, very nice. All right, I'm going to read this, but I'm not at all excited. Good Game Mafia. They're saying they have some new features and graphics. This is from a people's over in Hamburg, Germany. It says a successful online role-playing game by Good Game Studios allows rising from a petty mobster to a powerful head of the mafia. Already more than 6 million registered players worldwide are fighting for fame and glory in the underworld in this free browser game. To this end, they complete dangerous missions for the Godfather, collect protection money, or challenge other players to duels. The social components and the multiplayer options of the game, which allow for the cooperation or virtual battles between real people around the globe, are especially popular. I didn't particularly care for it myself. Maybe you like it. With the current update, the look of the game has been modernized and user interface optimized. Lovingly designed comic-style graphics like new backgrounds and characters enrich the role-playing game. As of now, additional vehicles, equipment, and weapons are also available to players with immediate effect. The user interface has also been fundamentally revised and is now being supplemented by an extensive help section. This new function will be especially helpful to novice villains since it explains all the elements of the game and thus completes the tutorial at the start. Moreover, the popular ranking feature has been refined. Alongside the current ranking, there is now a full Hall of Fame, which recognizes the most honorable mobsters of all time. In addition, the technical modifications have been implemented that it will make it easier for successful players at the top of the ranking to find attractive opponents, while at the same time allowing a more rapid ascent for novices. To heighten the excitement for experienced players, new updates and gaunt boss villains, extraordinary missions, and limited promotions will soon follow. You can, of course, play the game for free at mafia.goodgamestudios.com. I was not at all impressed with this game. It's very much like Mafia Wars and all of them. The PvP battles are okay. It wasn't, you know, anything to write home about. And to that end, one, people, we said 11 o'clock. That's all I'm saying. To you who just sent in your press release. I'm not going to call your name out. You know who you are. Not happening. We said 11 o'clock. Don't be Corey. Can you throw this in? No, because you know why? Because it's almost 12 o'clock. No. Two, why have we not seen an MMO that's in the mobster era? What is with all you people that are stuck on the trolls and orcs and way in the future with the... Because actually, the LucasArts Studios are the only ones that are actually doing way in the future with the Knights of the Old Republic. Kind of got Eve thrown out there, too. But can we get something with the monster era? Because I would play the hell out of that. An MMO?
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Imagine the clothes alone, Ginger. The pencil skirts, the fur around the neck, the fedora, the stilettos. And then I got my Tommy gun. Word, you see that look in your head?
That is hot.
I got the finger waves. Oh, my God. Somebody do that. I need that. And I get to have my gang and ride around in the back of one of those cars and just shoot up people on the street.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be so awesome.
When is Rockstar going to give us an MMO? That's, you guys should do that. L.A. Noire, yes. The MMO.
Oh, God, yes. That'd be hot.
I guess I'm going to pick up L.A. Noire today since I have no Xbox Live and I can't play Portal with my peeps.
Oh, you didn't get... You knew that Portal was free on the PC until, like, Monday, right?
Well, no, I have Portal on the PC for free. Okay. Remember, Blaster paid for it, so it was free for me anyway. But but I have Portal 2 for the Xbox as a belated birthday gift from the ZQ77. Thank you. And we play on the weekends. She drinks, and then I drink coffee. So it's really interesting if we could record those conversations. She's drunk, and I'm amped up. Push the ball. What ball? That one there.
That's hilarious.
Get the ball. Put it on the square. So, yeah. But I can't play with her this weekend. She's going to be mad at me. So I guess I'll go get my L.A. Noire and play by myself.
Aw. Oh, poor Corey. No crying. It'll be okay. They'll fix it. They better fix it. We'll go down there and we'll cut some people.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so I got a couple of minutes. What have I got?
Yeah, I got three.
Right, well then I'm going to grab this one. Max and the Magic Marker Gold Edition launch dates written in ink. All right, so Panvision and Press Play today announced that Max and the Magic Marker Gold Edition will hit the PlayStation Network in Europe on September 28th and in the United States on October 18th, offering the same award-winning design that took iOS, PC, Mac, and Wii War platforms by storm. Max and the Magic Marker Gold Edition will now bring updated HD graphics as well as support for the PlayStation Move controller. Immerse yourself in a world where doodles and drawings come to life in Max and the Magic Marker Gold Edition. Help Max platform his way through levels, overcome obstacles, solve puzzles, and defeat enemies, all with the help of a freehand drawing gameplay mechanic. Using the Magic Marker to outthink and outdraw the hardest of challenges, success relies on your ability to stretch your imagination. Draw almost any object in order to overcome challenges. From bridges and stairs to makeshift shelters and hot air balloons, nothing is impossible. All right, so what have we got? Features of Max and the Magic Marker are 58 inventive and puzzling levels to scribble your way through, 3 immersive cartoon worlds inspired by children's drawings, dynamic drawing capabilities with realistic physics, death traps, monsters, and challenging puzzles, unlockable challenges, secrets, and rewards to discover and achieve, high-definition graphics, and compatible with Sony's PlayStation Move controller. Awesome. So this actually sounds kind of fun. If you want to check this out, you can head over to GameMatrix.com. I put up a video, at least I'm pretty sure I put up a video, and there are some screenshots, so check it out.
Ooh, my head hurts or something. It's time to go. It's time to play some L.A. Noire.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. It's time for some... All right, guys. You know where to find us over the weekend. At least I won't be on Xbox.
Oh, poor Corey.
I really am shedding a tear, girl. You know what? I hardly ever get on my Xbox, but when they tell you can't play it, it hurts.
I'm going to find her, like...
Where's my glow sticks? Do this.
boys and girls. Mwah.